This week, I want to take a minute and look at what the spiritual disciplines actually mean and how that impacts our life and the things that happen as we jump into them. So when I think about someone who's super spiritual, when I try to get a picture of someone like, hey, this person is like a godly person and a very spiritual person, one of the first people that I think about is a monk, right? I think a lot of people look at that and go like, oh, like a monk. Yeah, that person is peaceful and serene. They seem to have this close relationship with God. And we look at that and go, okay, well, maybe if I was a monk, I would be as close to God, because look at what they do. The things that they do draw them closer to God. So what Pastor Jason's actually asking us to do is become monks. Yes. If you're here today, you didn't know, but you're signing up to City Light Monastery. No, that is not true. I have a job also, and we all must continue on our lives. But when we look at spirituality and we look at monks and go like, what is it that makes them so much more spiritual? What is it that we think draws them closer to God? Is it where they are? Because a lot of these monasteries are up on mountains in the middle of nowhere. So is it the place that is drawing them to a place that is closer to God? They're not closer to God because of where they live, but because of how they live. They don't have some secret idea of how to get to God. They did not discover the secret recipe that only that if you want to get as close to God as what we see as a monk being, that there's a secret recipe that you have to do. There's all these secret rituals that you have to do. They did not discover a secret to God. They simply made room for him in what they do. Godliness appears mysterious until we realize it is often just the result of the consistent presence of God. What sets them apart, what they do differently, is nothing that we cannot do in our daily lives. Yes, they may have taken it to an extreme, to the point where they've separated themselves from society in a lot of what they do, but that doesn't mean that the things that they do, we can't integrate into our own lives to try to reach a new place in Christ. In Psalms 1, verses 1 to 3, it says, "Blessed is the one who delights in the law of the Lord, that the person is like a tree planted by the streams of water." And that's what I really want to look at in this series that we're going to be going through. There's a reason why I called it Rooted, because I'm praying that the people of our church, the people that come into this place, the people that call this home, I don't want to be a superficial Christian. There's so many people in our society that look at Christianity and say, why would I want to follow that? You don't even follow that. Your life is no different than my life. They look at us and say, you're just as stressed about your job as I am. Your marriage is falling apart just like my marriage is falling apart. Your kids won't talk to you just like my kids won't talk to you. If I become a Christian, what in my life is different? Because there's so many of us who call ourselves Christian, but we don't live in a way that is any different than anyone outside of these walls. And I know some of you might be like, whoa, hey, you're going to be heavy. Yes. I'm calling us, God is calling us to a new place in him. And if we want to continue to see the light of who Christ is in this place, he's calling us to something different. There's something that God's been laying on my heart a lot, and even in a couple conversations, it came up this week, is that we are a new creation. We are a brand new man. And unfortunately, there's times in our lives that we don't live like that. We don't live as though we're new creations. We don't live as though we're brand new. We live in the old. We say the new, but we live in the old. And so a lot of us look at it and go, God, I want to grow. I want to be a deeper Christian. I see these people, I see monks, they look so serene and so, you know, at peace in their lives. God, I want that. And that's a great thing to want it. But wanting is not the same as growing. As many of you know, I like the gym. I enjoy the gym. I love going to work out. And so when someone comes to me and says, hey, Jason, I want to work out. I want to be in shape. I want to be strong. I'm like, that is a great start. But wanting is not going to get you there. Doing is going to be what gets you there. Stepping out and doing something will attain what it is that we want. Most of us want to grow spiritually, but wanting to grow isn't actually experiencing growth. It's not the same thing. We want to pray more. We want to feel closer to God. We want a deeper faith. But wanting alone does not produce this change, which is why we're going to look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 to 10. And it says, have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself in godliness. While bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value above in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also the future to come. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. For to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hope set in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially those who believe. Now, I love this scripture because if you read what it's talking about before this scripture, it's talking about silly things that we do on the outside. Things that we say that are Christianly, that we go, well, this is a godly person. This person goes to church. This person, it looks like that they pray. It looks like they do all these things. And some of the things that it's talking about is saying, these aren't things that are important. Back then it came to being circumcised. Or you can't eat this kind of food. You can't be in the presence of this person if you want to be godly. And so it's saying, don't worry about these silly things on the outside, these silly myths that don't actually bring you closer to God. It's saying, what you need to worry about is training your spiritual man. For me at the gym, when I go to the gym and I go with someone and they say, I want to lift, I want to work out, and they look at what I lift and go, I want to do that. And so I say, okay, here's 600 pounds, put on your back and squat it. There'd be a lawsuit involved right after that. No, but I do say, here's the bar. Put the bar on your back. We're going to start with this, and we're going to work our way up. Because if you want to reach a certain level, if you want to train to be the best that you could possibly be in any discipline, you have to start somewhere. So what I want to look at is, where are we starting? That I truly believe that it's each and every one of you here today have a desire to reach a new place in Christ. And if you don't, then after this, I pray that you do. Because I know there's things in your life that you're dealing with that are not easy. And you look at it and go, these problems, these situations are too big for me. I can't deal with them. God, I don't know what to do. And God is saying, I just want you to come to me. And I want to find you to find a new depth. And we say, but God, I'm trying. I'm trying to do this. I'm trying to get along with my wife. I'm trying to get along with my kids. I'm trying to get along with my boss. I'm trying to do all these things. Trying exhausts us. But training forms us. You know, there. I believe it was 2 weeks ago. Or three or four weeks ago, maybe it was. Someone kept saying, trying. There is no trying. And I couldn't help but go, are we listening to Yoda right now? Because although it's a silly, you know, movie, there's some depth to that. There is no trying. God doesn't ask us to try to do anything. He tells us to do it. Because as we try, it's going to exhaust you. You may have tried to deepen the relationship with your partner. You may have tried to deepen the relationship with your boss. And it seems like nothing's happening. Well, I want to tell you, stop trying. But start training. Start training yourself in a different way. Because as we see in this scripture, Paul doesn't say try to train yourself. He says train. Actually do it. Trying is emotional and short-lived. When we try to do something, we leave the door open for failure. Training is intentional and sustained. When you say, I'm going to try to do something, you're saying, I hope this works. But because I'm saying I'm trying and I'm not doing, you've now left that door open saying, if it fails, it's okay. I tried. But I want to take that mindset out of what we do. We are no longer people who try to do anything. We are people who do it in Christ. And we train ourselves in Christ. I want to be a happier person. Don't try to be a happier person. I want to be a more optimistic person. I'm going to try to do this. As we step into New Year's, we're like, we have our New Year's resolutions. And we say, I'm going to try to lose weight. And then January 1st next year, I'm going to try to lose weight. And then 2028, I'm going to try to not gain any more weight. 2029, I'm going to try to not gain as much weight. Because what we do is we leave that door open. Saying, it's okay, I tried. We have a mentality in our lives where, hey, if you tried, that's okay. Church, we're not going to try. We're going to train to do. There is no trying. Thank you, Yoda. No one drifts into spiritual maturity. We do not drift into deep roots. We drift on shallow soil. In 1 Peter 2:2, it says, like newborn infants, long for pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow. Church, God is calling us to deeper and deeper. Because as we step out into what He has, things are going to get hard. Things are going to get more difficult. If you think that your life is hard now, as you step into what God has, you declare yourself to be an enemy of Satan. And when you declare yourself to be an enemy of Satan, church, I want you to really understand something here. We are living in two worlds. We have our physical and our spiritual. That is a truth. That is actually a scientific truth, that there is more to this world than just the physical. He agrees. Amen. Even the animals know that we are of two worlds. So although we may be doing things in the physical world, and there's so many of us that make the physical look really good, we go, wow, that person is spiritual. Wow, that person is really doing well with God. I want to be like that person, because on the outside, it looks okay. It looks good. But when you dive into who they are and their spiritual life and what they're like on the inside, it's a completely different story. And I don't want to be superficial Christians. I don't want to be a superficial church. I want to be a church of depth. Amen. That when people walk into this place, they say there's something different. That these people don't act like the other people on the outside of this. That they come into this place and they say, there's something different about those people. I'm not sure what it is just yet, but I want to find out. Because there seems to be a joy. There seems to be a happiness. There seems to be a contentment that I can't find on the outside. I have all the money. I have all the success. But I still can't find that joy and happiness. Which is why we look at monks and go, they look so satisfied in their lives. It's because they've stopped looking for what's on the outside. And they've started training in the spiritual realm. Amen? And we are called to train our spiritual man. Because training on the outside, like Paul said, it does some good. But until you truly change your spiritual man, change who you are inside, nothing truly happens. Because knowing the mechanics is not the same as practicing them. We can know the things to do. We can know how to pray. Oh, yeah, you know, I was raised in the church. I know how to pray. I've read the Lord's Prayer. I've gone on my knees and I've cried out to God. I know how to do it. Fasting, I know how to do it. I cannot eat for like 2 hours. Meditation, yeah. When my kid steps out of the car, I meditate and say, thank you, Jesus. I know how to meditate. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about stepping in to something new. That understanding the things that we do physically have repercussions spiritually. And that we're not doing it for the show. We're not doing it for the outside. That it may show in this physical world, but we're not training for this physical world. Because what we do in the spirit does have ramifications in the flesh. But the things that I focus on are in the spirit. We can know about the disciplines. We can explain them. We can even teach them. To know the mechanics does not mean to know that we know how to practice the disciplines. The disciplines are an inward spiritual reality. The inner attitude of the heart is far more crucial than the outer mechanics. In Matthew 15:8, it says, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." Church, we're being called out of superficiality. That as we step into what God has, as you step into what God has for you, I'm not even just talking about what God has for this church right now. I'm talking about what God has for you. That when you step into what God has for you, and that all the turmoil that's in your life right now, if you want to find peace and understanding and joy, that if we train ourselves not just to, when someone comes up to you and says, hey, how was your week? Big smiley face. Hi, it was great. It was a fantastic week. That we can truly say, God is good. Amen. He's done some amazing things. This past week in my own life, as I've been just praying and moving into this, one thing that we'll be talking about, that Claudia's going to talk about next week, is meditation. And this week, as I've been meditating, there's a scripture that I've really been looking at, is saying that God will give you his peace. Which is why I can truly say this week has been different for me, because I've taken that verse and I've meditated on it day and night. And every time I felt like there was some sort of stress in my life and I was starting to feel the stress, like, God, I don't know what's going to happen. God, am I going in the right direction? Am I making the right steps? God, what's happening with my children? What is happening that maybe they're not where I think that they should be? God, what is happening with this church? Where are you taking us? And I get stressed and I get worried about it. And then I meditate and say, wait a second. God said that he will give me his peace. So if he said that, why don't I feel peace? Why? It's because I didn't take the peace that he gave me. So instead, I stopped and I said, God, give me your peace. I didn't say, God, I claim peace now. I said, God, give me your peace. And I would meditate and say, God, give me your peace. Your peace will reign in my life. And as I sat and I just prayed on those words and I meditated on those words, it is absolutely amazing. Even now as I'm talking about it. The peace that God just laid in my heart. And all the things that I was laying in bed, worrying and stressing about, that would wake me up at 4 a.m, mind racing, God, what's going on? Are we heading in the right direction? What are we doing? I would stop and say, God, give me your peace. And time after time, his unfailing love poured over me and changed how I saw this world. We can pray and still not be closed or be close to God. We can read scripture and still be hurried. We can fast and still be driven by pride. God is not interested in the outward form. He is interested in inward formation. Romans 12:2 says, be transformed by what? The renewal of your mind. Not the renewal of your body, but to be transformed by the renewal of your mind. God is saying, I want to change things in your life. I want to change how you see this world. I want to change how you react to this world. But to do so, he needs to have a deep relationship with you. Now, it's easy as we dive into these and we look at them and go, okay, well, we're going to go into the spiritual disciplines. And these are the things that we must do. And if we do these things, then we will reach a certain level. But we're not slaves. And the slavery of ingrained habits is so huge in our lives. That there's things that you're going, God, I can't do without this. Or we try to change a habit. And we go, there's something that I do in my life that I know is not good, but I'm going to change this. But I want you to know that the habits you have, that you are slaves to those right now. And your willpower is not enough. I don't care what inspirational speaker you talk to saying, you know, you can end this if you have the willpower. I'm sorry to tell you, your willpower is not enough. You cannot truly change how you do things and how you see this world and the habits that you have on your own. Maybe you have a problem with drugs or alcohol or the way that you talk. You may have a problem with pornography. And you think, I can change this. I can try. I can do it. I'm sorry to tell you, but you can't. You cannot truly change it on your own. And every time we try to do these things, we actually empower them. Maybe sometimes the habit that we have, we don't see it as a huge problem. Maybe the habit of being busy. How from the moment that we get up in the morning until the time that we go to bed at 2 in the morning, that we're busy, busy, busy. And we have the habit of being hurried or being distracted. And we think, I'm going to change this. I am going to take more time out for God. And through my willpower, I'm going to get up in the morning and I'm going to have my time with God. You can try. But I guarantee you that it will not last. Why do I know this? Because I've tried. I've tried to do things in my own willpower. There are habits in my life that I had before that I said, I'm going to try to deal with this habit. I'm going to try to get over this. Never did it work. It got to the point in my life with some of these things where I looked at it and said, God, I guess this is just who I am. This is something that I can't change. This is something that I have to live with. And I started to tell myself, God, other pastors, you see that they have issues and whatnot in their lives, and you see them being used by you. And as they pass away, or you come to find out that there's things that are ingrained in their life that weren't of you, but God, you still use them. So God, even though I have this habit in my life, although I struggle with certain things in my life, God, you can use me, and I can be okay with this because I've seen that you've used other people. So because I can't get over this, I'm going to pray that you use me with this. I know others have done it. God, I'm just going to have to live with this. You're going to have to use me as I am. Once again, we are a new creation. And although you may try in your own willpower to deal with some of these circumstances and issues in your life, I want to tell you that there is a way that you can change them. That by delving into who God is and making time for Him and changing the things that we do to focus on Him, all of these things can be put away the issues that I had in my life. It wasn't until I said, God, I don't want to live like this anymore. I'm going to take some time aside and I'm going to dive into, it actually happened to be fasting for me that did it. And I fasted for, and to be able, 3 weeks. And this issue that I had in my life that I felt like, God, it's just who I am. Never again was that an issue in me. Now, am I saying there isn't other things that I still have to grow with? No, God is still constantly helping me to grow and still helping me to dive into Him more. But now I know the power of these disciplines. And that it's not about the law that we need to do this because the law says so. No, we need to do this because if you truly want change in your life, if you truly want to see joy and happiness, if you truly want to see yourself being used for what God has you for, when you step into this, to the disciplines, you will know. Emmett Fox, a great writer, said this, "As soon as you resist mentally any undesirable or unwanted circumstance, you thereby endow it with more power, power which it will use against you. And you will have and you will have depleted your own resources to that extent." Every time you try on your own, you're just draining yourself. You're making it harder. But when you stop and say, God, I can't do this. I need to come to the cross. And I need to lay this at your feet. That's when things change. Romans 6:16 says, you are slaves of the one you obey. Most people are not rebellious. They simply have shaped unhealthy rhythms. What we practice consistently ends up discipling us. The technology that we use shapes us. The schedules that we abide by shape us. The pressures that we live in shape us. But when we stop and say, it's no longer about me, it's about you, God, all of these things change. When all of a sudden we don't give to the technology the time in our lives, and instead we give a spiritual discipline that time instead, that is what disciples us. When all of a sudden our schedules are not about the things that are on the outside, the things that the world sees as important, the things that we see as important, but all of a sudden when we change our schedule and our schedules become centered around the true and living God and saying, God, how does my life look? What is most important in my life? Where you put your time and your money will always tell you the most important things in your life. If we take our time and our talents and our money and all of a sudden we stop scheduling them into what the world wants and what the world thinks that we should, and we say, no, God, I'm going to put what you have for me first in my schedule. Work may have booked me for these hours, but I'm going to schedule my God first. And we start to do that. All of a sudden, we become free. God is asking us to practice these spiritual disciplines for freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And so what we're asking you to do is step into the Spirit of the Lord consistently. Praying retains attention. Scripture retains desire. Silence retrains the soul. Simplicity retrains trust. So like I said, we can't turn these into laws. I'm not saying that this is a law, because the law does not save. In this book, Richard Foster warns us that there is a way that disciplines can actually lead us away from God. When we turn those disciplines into laws, I'm not saying that these are laws. When the disciplines become laws, they become measurements instead of means. They create pride or guilt instead of humility. They shift our focus from relationship to performance. The moment a discipline becomes a rule, it loses its power to shape the heart. Matthew 23:4 says, "They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear. They lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them with their finger." We're not turning these into laws. We're turning these into freedom. I'm not saying that we need to practice these and we need to be diligent and this is what we must do. And if you do not fast for at least 2 weeks, that you cannot hear from God. If you do not meditate for at least 2 hours a day, you cannot attain the relationship with that God has for you. These are not measurements. These are ways for us to draw closer to who God is. The disciplines are meant to serve love, not replace it. They are tools for freedom and not tests for faithfulness. Because one thing the spiritual disciplines do is they open the door. Inner righteousness is a gift from God to be graciously received. The book of Romans and the Apostle Paul goes into great lengths to show that righteousness is a gift from God. He uses the times in the epistles and each time insists that righteousness is unattained and unattainable through human efforts. Romans 5:17, those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in the life through the one man, Jesus Christ. I want you to understand what we're stepping into here. We're asking God to open the door to who he is in your life, to change your life. So it's easy to look at it and go, well, wait a second, if righteousness is unobtained and unobtainable, and it's supposed to be a free gift, why do I need to step into this? It's an oxymoron. You're asking me to do something to step into it, but you're saying it's unobtainable by doing it. It doesn't make sense. But it actually does. Your analysis may be correct that human striving is insufficient and righteousness is a gift, but the conclusion is faulty. There is something we can do. God has given the disciplines of the spiritual life as a means of receiving grace. It's still a gift. When we practice the spiritual disciplines, we're not earning God's grace. God's grace cannot be earned. So we're not doing it saying, if I do this, I'm earning brownie points. Like my kids, I did the dishes. I should receive a reward. You get to eat next time. Off of semi-clean dishes. Because my kids did wash them. Don't worry, if you come to my house for dinner, I wash your dishes, not my kids. But we don't do this saying, God, if I do this, then you will do this. If I don't do these disciplines, then you will not do these things. That's not what we're saying. His grace is a free gift. And he's holding it out to you and saying, I want you to feel peace. As I was praying this week, I knew that God was saying, I was just waiting for you to ask. I saw the turmoil that was going on in your life, and I want to fix that. There's things going on in your life that God is saying, I want to fix that. Please don't think that God is ignoring you. God is just saying, I have a gift. I have it here. Please come and take it. Come and see that what I have for you is good. But for me to give it to you, you have to come and take it. It's a free gift, and the spiritual disciplines are us just going to the Father and saying, God, you have this gift for me. You have this peace and this understanding that you have waiting for me. And he's just saying, just come. Come. Take it. Galatians 6:8 says, for the one who sows to his own flesh will from that flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows into the Spirit, from the Spirit reaps eternal life. God is saying, it's here. And I'm just asking you to sow into it. I'm so asking you to sow into your eternal life. I'm asking you to push in. And as you push in, all these things that you see and that you want and that you desire, hope, peace, love, joy, all the things we looked at from Advent, they're all waiting here for you. But he's saying you need to sow into that. If you want these things, you have to come. You have to come to the altar. Abide in me and I in you. Apart from me, you can do nothing. The disciplines do not save us. They keep us close to the one who does. So as we step into these disciplines, as we step into these studies, then we're going to be talking about it here on Sundays, and we're also going to be doing it in our life groups, because I truly believe that this is an important part for our church, that God is calling us to a new depth. We will not be a superficial church. Amen? Amen. We will be a church that has deep roots, that you can see the tree above, but a hard wind cannot knock that down because it's got deep roots. And we will continue to dive into who God is. And we will find the strength for what's to come. Because there's going to be things in our lives that as we dive in, that we declare ourselves to be enemies of Satan. And our lives might get hard, but when we dive into these and we start reshaping our lives, reshaping what we do, how we see this world, no matter what happens on the outside, we will be like monks. We don't need to be on a mountaintop. We don't need to be separated from society to practice what they practice. They practice solitude. We can find times of solitude. They practice fasting. We can find times to fast. They practice the reading of Scripture. Oh, I pray that we find time to read the Word of God. They find times to meditate. Oh, I even emailed Claudio this week and I said, are you sure you want to preach on meditation? Because I do. He said, no, I got it, Jason. I'm like, okay, I guess I'll preach on prayer then. That's okay. Because I want you to understand the power of some of these things, that as we step into this, if you want change in your life, if there's things that are happening in your life and you're saying, I want something to change in my life. If we do want change, there's something that has to change in us first. That we all of a sudden can't be doing it of our own fruition. We can't do it in our own willpower. But instead, we have to lay it at the cross. And how do we do that? We take time. We meditate. We pray. We fast. We take time of solitude and say, God, speak to me. I want to hear you. And as we do that in this church, God is going to change you. There is no try. I'm telling you right now, as we step into this, we're not going to try and do anything, but we are going to train. We're going to work ourselves. And we are going to change our lives. We're going to change this church. And we're going to change the community around us. And when I say the community, I'm not just talking these houses around us. I'm talking the people that are in your own life. That God wants you. He wants to use you to change the people around you. And as we step into this, and as you begin to change, people will begin to go, I know you've always been a Christian, but man, there's something different about you. Because there is no choice, there is no option. As we step into this, and as we begin to practice these disciplines, your life will change. Guaranteed 100%, I'll put money on it. I don't got a lot, so you can bet what you want. But I will bet what I have. Because I know God is going to do great things in us. Amen? God is going to do great things through us. Amen? And as we step into this, I pray that this isn't just a Sunday morning experience. I say this time and time again, but this is not a Sunday morning experience. This is a lifetime experience. That the things that happen here, they resonate to our lives outside of these walls. That the things that God is doing in this place don't just affect what's in this place, that they affect our lives outside of here. And I truly believe that God is going to move. Amen? I pray you get an excitement, because I got an excitement. I got excitement about what God is going to do. God is about to tear this joint up. We are about to step into something so amazing, and not just in this place, in your own lives. I want you to take a second right now, and I want you to think about the things that are happening in your own life. And I want you to think about the difficult things that happen in your life, the things that you look in your own life and go, God, I've been praying for this for a long time, and I'm not seeing any movement. God, I know that you have this for my life. I know you have a will for me, but I'm not seeing it come to fruition. I'm not seeing things change like I know that you want them to change. And I know that there's things in your life, because as I'm standing here, I'm thinking about things in my own life. And I go, God, I'm praying. Why are things not changing? And as we take these things, I want you to say, God, I'm laying it at your feet. And it's no longer I who liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. So it's not me who's going to try. I'm no longer going to try to make this change. I'm no longer going to try to have something move forward in my life. Because it's no longer me. I'm not trying for this anymore. I'm bringing it to you. We're not trying to impress him. We're not trying to earn. We're just trying to make room for what God has. Jesus says, abide in me and I in you. He doesn't say, impress me. He doesn't say, perform for me. He says, abide, stay, make time, make room for my presence. So this week, even though we haven't delved into all the different disciplines, I don't want you to walk out of here thinking, that was a great sermon. Go home, do our things. I'm going to put it to you this week. We all know at least one of the disciplines: prayer, fasting, meditation, solitude, reading the word. I want us to be poignant in what we do. I want us to take time and say, God, I'm going to stay in the word this week. I'm going to read the word expecting you to speak into me. Or maybe saying, God is saying, I want you to take time to meditate. I don't want to take too much away from Claudio, but I could just preach on meditation right now. God is saying, I want you to take time to meditate, to take the word, my word, and just let it sit. Sorry, Claudio, I can't help it. Meditation changes the way we do things. The world has taken meditation. It's like when we hear the word meditation, it becomes this Eastern Orthodox. Like, oh, wait a second, we're Christians. We don't meditate. That's, you know, spirituality that's not of God. Well, if you read the Word of God says constantly to meditate. Prayer is amazing. I love prayer. But wait a second, I need to shut up sometimes And meditation is me shutting up and saying, God, I can talk and talk and talk, and I can tell you everything that I want, but I don't give you any opportunity to speak into my heart, to speak into my life, to show me, to answer me. Maybe you've been praying for something, and God has been saying, if you just be quiet for a second, I could answer you. He's got the answer for you, but we just keep talking. Yeah. I know that because I have kids. And they talk and they talk and they talk. And I just want to say no, but they keep talking. When we take that time to meditate, maybe God has been saying, finally, I can speak into you. And we just open up our hearts. We don't do Eastern mysticism. I just open up to the spiritual realm. We open our hearts up to the Spirit of God and say, God, this is your time to speak to me. Sorry, Claudio. I know he'll have more depth in it too. But maybe God is saying, I want you to take some time to meditate this week. I want you to take some time to pray and actually just cry out to me with your true heart. Simplicity. God, I don't know what to do. God, I'm laying this at your feet. But to be intentional in what we do. I'm not saying that if you choose to meditate that you must meditate for 6 hours in a yoga position in Zen. But I'm saying that we need to be intentional. God, there's this issue that you've brought to my heart. And I'm going to sit and meditate on you because you have an answer for me. God, I'm going to read your word. I'm going to intentionally take this time and read your word and allow you to speak into my heart, into my life. God, I'm going to take some time in solitude. I'm going to take my time away from all the distractions of this world. And I'm going to sit with you. I'm going to find, we live in a beautiful city. If you want to look at mountains, you can look at mountains. If you want to look at water, you can look at water. Anything you want to see. I mean, we don't live in the prairies here, people. God gave you the blessing of the beautiful nature. And prairies are beautiful in its own special way. But God has placed you in one of the... I lived there for like 15 years, right? There's a reason why I'm here now. But God is saying, I put you in a beautiful place. Take the time of solitude. Look at beautiful creation around you. Let me speak to you. So this week, whatever God just laid on your heart as I asked you to think about a situation in your life, I'm doing this because when you come back next Sunday, I want you to be excited because you're going to try a little taste of what God has for you. And we're going to take this time and we're going to pray into it. So that as you come back next week and you're like, wow, Pastor Jason, I actually meditated. Wow, Pastor Jason, I actually took time and actually focused my prayer and said, this is the time I have for prayer. I actually took time just to sit out and allow God to speak to me through nature. So whatever that is that God has placed on your heart, I pray you take some time this week and you intentionally practice, you train, you don't try to do it. None of us here are going to try to do something. And I know that with all I've spoken, God has told you. There's no like, I don't know. I know God has spoken to your heart right now that he's saying, this is the issue and this is how I want you to deal with it. Whether it be prayer, meditation, fasting, this is the issue he's given you. And this is the discipline he wants you to practice this week. 5, 10, 15, 20, 6 hours, that's between you and God. But whatever it is that God has spoken on your heart right now, I want you to intentionally. Okay, I'm gonna do it. Do you have a phone? Who has a phone here? You haven't got a phone? You got a phone? I know people have phones because I heard them ringing. I want you to take out your phone. And I'm not going to ask you to write down exactly the issue is that God has placed on your heart. But I do want you to take this and intentionally, we're not trying. I don't want you walking around going, I'm going to try to do that this week, Pastor Jason. There is no try, there's only do. Yes, you can call me Pastor Yoda from now on. But I want you to take it. I want you to take your phone out. And I actually want you to schedule this time with God. And say, God, you're asking me to meditate on you. And God's going to say, I want you to meditate for 15 minutes. and just be quiet and let me speak to you. Or, God, you're telling me to fast. Well, maybe this Wednesday, God is saying, I want you to fast and I want you to think about this. Maybe God's saying, I want you to intentionally take this time and read a scripture. He's going to put a scripture on your heart and you're going to read it. But I actually want to take this time right now. Take out your phone. Yes, you're allowed to take your phone in church. Take your phone out and schedule this time with God, because we're not going to try to do this, church. We are going to do this. We are going to step into what God has for us. And when you come back next week, I guarantee there's going to be a difference in you if you actually follow the schedule, because we all know that when we schedule it in our phone, it's a must. Once it's in the phone, there's no changing it. Amazing. So I'm super excited as we come back next week to hear what God is doing in your life, and that God placed something on your heart and you practiced this discipline and it changed it in some way. I know that it's going to happen in your life. You're going to want to stand with me. Praying God gives you the excitement that he gives me. You guys can tell I'm kind of excited about this series, because I'm excited about what God's been doing in my own life. And because I see that and I feel it, I want that for you. I want you to feel the joy that God is putting in my life over these disciplines. That I'm looking at my life in a different way. That I'm finding peace in a way that I can't find on my own. I'm finding joy in a way that I can't find on my own. Why? Because I'm delving in. Because I'm saying, yes, God, I will take this gift and I will step into that.